relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. We are all Hamas, you pig! On the streets of New York, on the campuses of the Ivy Leagues, what is happening in America? I have so many questions. I'm just a poor legal immigrant to the United States. Maybe there's one man who can help us. He's rather smart, and his video content on YouTube is highly amusing. He's the host of the Rageaholic channel. He is the author of the newly released, I can't wait to get my hands on a copy, Ghost of the Badlands graphic novel. He's a great friend of the show. Razor Fist, welcome back to America First.
Yeah, we are all Hamas, Sebastian. We are give or take an A and an S, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, we are clearly all Hamas. You know when you get into a lift and there's some jingle music from the 1970s or somebody whistles something from a soap opera of the 1980s and you can't get this stinking tune out of your head for the next 3 days. I am with that on this issue, and I'm sorry to all my millions of listeners who must be bored of me after the last 2 weeks. All of the guests I have on my show who I highly respect, I ask them the same question, and I'm just going to play this old record for you because I'm really curious what you think. Does this stuff that we have pro-jihadists, mostly white young women, pro-jihadists, being openly pro-jihadist all over America's educational institutions, is that a thing or is it a joke? How do we cope with it? How do we analyze it? What box do you put it in, Razor Fist?
Oh, you're not what? You're not taking their domestic jihad seriously with the headscarves that they freshly ordered off of Amazon? No?
Well, look, it's when they're desperate for the hand-delivered, for the provost to bring them their kale salad and the almond latte. It kind of challenges my concepts of irregular warfare.
A lot of things, yeah, I don't know. To me, there's a word for an occasion in which the Middle East erupts in sectarian homicide, and that word is weekday. So I try not to take too firm a stance on these issues.
Can we just pause here? Pause the B-roll. I can't remember for the life of me who it was, but somebody posted this or said this online. I love this woman who wanted her kale salad delivered, otherwise they're going to die of starvation, whose name is Johanna King Slutsky. That's actually her real name, PhD student in Marxism. It's the guy behind him in the lovely little crop top showing his flat belly. Somebody said, I do like your outfit. Go and wear it in the Gaza, see how long you'd last. I just have to add that because it was such a good comment. But all right, we laugh. It is amusing because she says we need humanitarian aid at a school that our parents spent $90,000 on every year. Put it into the broader context. Should we just see this as risible and laugh it off? Or does the fact that Minnesota has hundreds of thousands of uncommitted voters who don't want to vote for the incumbent, is this a thing or not?
First of all, I think he's actually rehearsing for the Saudi Arabian rooftop high dive competition in that outfit. No, I look, you should read a little bit of something into it at the end of the day, because Palestine, as anyone who knows anything about anything knows, for decades has been a project of global communism. The PLO used to be Palestinian Communist Party, right? And you go back further and it just gets more and more socialist and communist the further back that you go. So there's a little something to this. We certainly have no shortage of Marxists on American university campuses. And so they're sympathetic with Palestine, not so much because they despise Jews or despise Israel, although I'm certain there's a component of that. It's more so that they're big, big fans of any project of global communism, and Palestine happens to be one of those and has been for a very, very long time.
But what is the logic? Because now, for some reason, I'd love to get your theory, for some peculiar reason, it is Politico that leaked the information that George Soros and Bill Gates and, you know, others are funding these protests, buying the lattes and the REI tents and everything else. What's the political logic of this? Because you could, you know, you can hate America and hate Israel, but domestically, I'm not sure this is a big winner 6 months before an election. So are they just hostages to their own vituperation, or what's going on here?
It could be something to the effect of they're kind of telling us more about their deficiencies than anything else, right? What are they having a problem doing? Mobilizing their base.
Yeah.
I think what we're witnessing right now is just how big of barking lunatics their base are. At the end of they're trying to mobilize their base, and this is the result. That's kind of what it tells me, honestly. When you look at this, and this kind of tracks in a number of other issues too, but this issue of Israel and Palestine, they're actually getting involved in this, and they think this is going to be a mobilizing issue. They are that tone deaf.
That's stunning. That's stunning. Yeah. And what should be the proper, the requisite response? I had a friend of mine, a colleague at Salem, who in his morning show in the first hour said, where are the fire hoses? Where are the fire hoses? And then in the second hour, I think his Hollywood friends kind of got on the blower and said, do you remember what happened in the South? And then my friend, who's a good guy, apologized. He said, oh, fire hoses are wrong, and we shouldn't use that because it's a reminder of what happened during the civil rights era. It's like, hang on, it's a fire hose, okay? It's a fire hose. Yeah. If you're criminal, just use it. So when you have a conservative governor, as we do in the Commonwealth of Virginia or in Texas, what is the right response without playing into the hands of the lunatic base of the left?
Well, it's interesting because some of these have been cracked down on, which amazed me because I figured police chiefs and such had just forgotten how to crack down on these kind of demonstrations, such as during the Summer of Love. It's interesting how they kind of relearned that. It's just like riding a bicycle. It's like a muscle. It just depends on how much you exercise it. Apparently, they just hadn't exercised it in a while. They can actually crack down on these when they like to. And that kind of, I think, is the way to approach it. You need to just give the police free rein to actually do what they have to do at the end of the day. But we know what was going on during the Summer of Love, right? Police chiefs and the Democratic Party police unions have tended to kind of be in bed together, and it was to their political advantage in 2020 not to crack down on some of this stuff. It's amazing now that Biden's in the White House, theoretically, now that he's running or shambling, rather, for another term, we now suddenly have rediscovered how to crack down on this sort of behavior. Amazing, isn't it? Quite uncanny.
And does it disappear with the end of the semester and everybody has to go back to their, you know, homes with the, you know, Olympic-sized pools and the maidservants? Or will this be a factor in the minds of voters on November 5th?
It could be, you know, and here is the great curse of social media. They will keep it in people's minds. Now, whether the public, it's actually foremost in their mind. I mean, my goodness, the news cycle moves like greased lightning. Good luck keeping anything at the forefront of the public consciousness for more than 15.5 seconds. But still, right? It will be there. And probably that's the curse of social media, really.
Follow him on YouTube at The Rageaholic, on Twitter at RazorFist with a 0 for an O. The new book, the graphic novel, is The Ghost of the Badlands. Just hot off the presses. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One. If 3 hours of radio simply is not enough for you, then join us this July 4th for our Patriots Alaska cruise. I've never been to Alaska. I've never even been on a cruise. Hundreds of patriots with me, with Katie, my muse, with Jennifer Horn, Chris DeGaulle, Mike Gallagher. Join us for the trip of a lifetime, especially if you missed our trip to Israel a year ago. This one's for you. 400 have already booked. Don't miss out. Check out the itinerary at sebgorka.com and book your cabin today. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Patriots Alaska Cruise. Join us, recharge your batteries as we plot together how to wrest back of the Republic from those who are trying to dismantle it every single day. And if you like our deep dive discussions with real experts, newsmakers like Razor Fist, make sure you never miss the third hour of the show. Follow us on the podcast platform of your choice. It matters not which to me. Salem, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher. Just plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Subscribing costs you nothing. Leave us a 5-star review and share the links with your friends, because that's how we get the truth out. And if you'd like to have sanity, or just, you know, capability back in the White House, if you'd like to have prosperity and a global order that is stable and not wars hither and yon, support the president. We've put his booking photograph on a yard sign, on a T-shirt, on a mug, with a very simple phrase, Trump 2024. Get yours today at sebgorkastore.com. And I'm so proud of you guys. Third month running, you've made the T-shirt that I didn't expect. Number one, we've done jujitsu on the jihadists, a map of Israel from the river to the sea. Israel will be forever free. Get yours and all of my books at sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A store.com. And you can support the president directly at DonaldJTrump.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Greetings, this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank, while the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank. It belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do. A controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. A literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Mr. Trump, am I going to call him a liar? Is he going to testify?
As to that first question, as you know, they've taken away my constitutional rights, so I'm not allowed to answer that question. This has never happened in this country before. It's a ridiculous thing. It's a ridiculous case. I did nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong. Take a look at Greg Jarrett this morning. He went on. Take a look at Andrew McCarthy or Jonathan Turley or Mark Levin. It's like they say there's no case here. And yet the judges gagged me, and I'm not allowed to talk about, I guess, his total conflict. The judge is totally conflict. It's totally conflicted, and you ought to take a look at it. And I'm not supposed to be talking about it, but I am allowed to say that the judge has a conflict that, like, nobody's ever had before. You ought to take a look at it. He's taken away my constitutional right to speak. I was in Miami this weekend, and reporters are asking me questions, the same questions like you're asking me, and I have to say I have a gag order. I can't speak about it. Never happened before, ever. Number one. Number two, it's a fake trial. They have no case. And it's been absolutely proven now. They have no case whatsoever. This is Alvin Bragg doing it for political reasons for Biden. This is a Biden trial. He's a crooked president.
President Trump, who is technically the leader of the opposition, unable to properly campaign, not simply because he has to be in a court in Manhattan every other day, but because the judge who donated to the Biden campaign and an anti-Trump PAC has imposed a gag order on the defendant, not the prosecution, but on the defendant. I have to ask you, Razor Fist, I find it impossible to categorize you, which is a good thing. I don't know whether you're a political commentator, a culture commentator, because you also bring in this fabulous historical perspective to your analyses. Let's use that for a moment. Can you put these events that we're witnessing into historic context? We know Lincoln and habeas corpus, but this idea that these are the Biden trials and a judge is actually daily undermining the capacity of the opposition leaders' capacity to actually campaign. Put this into the American historic context.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part of it. It's kind of without precedent, even the lead up to the secession crisis, which ultimately led to the Civil War, wasn't handled quite this way. And it's interesting, like, one of the big watchwords, I know Rush Limbaugh used to say this, I've always been a big proponent of this, and that is that you don't really listen to what they say, you watch what they do.
Yeah.
You know, the media and sort of the Democrat media complex can crow about how confident they are, but their actions are sort of telling another story beyond this trial, right? Like, it just, the trial itself, and my goodness, turn on your television. At this point, primetime TV is just the negative space between increasingly desperate Biden ads, right? Like, that's literally what it's become.
Right.
And they're getting more and more that way. I mean, the man has a bigger advertising budget than Ron Popeil at this point. But it's they're showing you really how confident they actually are. This is, you wouldn't have this gag order, which I forget who the commentator was, because I'd love to give them credit. It may well have been you, but somebody pointed out very early on, as soon as the gag order was broached, that, oh, this is just an excuse to get him to stop being able to campaign.
Right.
That's it. And unfortunately, a lot of people in his own party are complicit in this, as we have seen. Look, Biden is running, or as I said, shambling against exactly one party. Trump is running against both parties,
yes,
and their willing propaganda apparatuses in mainstream TV. Trump has more enemies than Batman, folks. And if you haven't accepted that at this point, you are not paying attention or conscious.
But interestingly, he's winning friends and fans in places that are making the establishment parties, plural, probably very, very worried. I can't stop playing this next cut. You'll tell me that I'm reading too much into it, but I just love it. Play it, Eric.
I love you, Trump. I love you, Trump.
We love Trump.
We love Trump.
I love you, Trump.
We love Trump.
We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. We love
Trump. Harlem. Black kid starts a chant that the grown-ups carry forth. We love you, Trump. Then we have the week before that, he's in the Chick-fil-A, and the black college professor says, I don't care what they're going to do to me. I love you, Trump. Can I give you a hug? And then what was it last Thursday? The man who knows Manhattan better than anybody else on the planet, he walks from the Manhattan court and then delivers pizza to the fire station. And if you listen carefully, you can actually hear on the audio, one of the firefighters actually says, please save us. I know these are, you know, anecdotes, but I think these are significant. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not going to, because when you really analyze it, what they've done is they propped up an even more favorable situation in some ways than 2016. Because part of Trump's appeal in 2016, as I think you would agree, was he somehow, even though he's a billionaire and super successful, curating out the yin yang, right?
Right.
He was somehow cast as the underdog, right?
Yeah,
He's probably more recognizable. Even then, he was more recognizable and had a higher Q rating than Hillary Clinton. And yet they found a way to make him be the underdog. Well, this is pretty much the only way he could reclaim that with some to spare, right?
But it's more than that. I mean, I agree with you, underdog or outsider, yeah, which is weird for the billionaire from Manhattan. But now, right, you know, to leverage the Ghost from the Badlands genre or theme, he's the outlaw president, isn't he?
He is. You know who actually pointed this out is a guy I respect a lot, Victor Davis Hanson.
Oh, my gosh, sure, totally. Yes.
Sure you're aware of him.
I told him the phrase outlaw president on my show when he was on.
He's so bang on. He was like, I think it's going to be like the movie Shane, right? Where they need the guy to get out there and have his pistols clear leather one last time just so they can take care of those dirty banditos. But as soon as he does it, everyone's going to want him to go away, right? Right. He's going to have to ride off into the sunset just having completed the job, right? This is an analogy that he's made a number of times, and I am in perfect accord with this. I think that's kind of the way that it's been. But the thing is, we're kind of in the Western movie buildup at this point, aren't we? Right. Yeah. The banditos have full run. They are rigging the game against everybody. And Gary Cooper's going around town asking for help. And everyone's saying, no, 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 not so much. Not so much.
There's a great, I think it's like a 50-minute lecture he did for Hillsdale that you can find online, where a VDH talks about Trump as in the same category as Ajax and Patton, that they are the uncivilized hero and destroyer who comes in to save Western civilization when nobody else is capable. And once they do that, they just want to jettison them into the garbage because they think he's far too uncouth. But, you know, the fact that they've made him more of the outsider, more of the outlaw than he was in 2016, you're absolutely right, is up on the money. Please follow our friend at Razor Fist on Twitter. Razor, the O is a zero.
We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership, and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures, and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There are so many reasons that Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and legacy precious metals is the gold standard. I love Legacy Precious Metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to LegacyPMInvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you.
Ammunition is a hard asset, something that is tangible like gold. The value never goes to zero. In fact, in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of ammunition only goes up. Not to mention, ammo can be difficult to find, but I have a solution for you. Ammo Squared. In these tough times, Ammo Squared offers a unique and budget-friendly way to invest in ammunition, like an ammo 401k or ammo savings account. Set it up and have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves go empty and ammunition is hard to find. There is no minimum to buy, no memberships needed, and no extra fees. Buy ammo on a small budget, then watch it grow over time like a savings account. As ammunition builds up in your account, it is stored for free in a climate-controlled warehouse, secured, insured, and safe from threats until you need it. Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. It is truly a set-it-and-forget-it ammo purchasing program. Pick your calibers, set your budget, select a shipping trigger, and that's it. Visit them now at AmmoSquared.com and join today. AmmoSquared.com.
Chairman Schiff, you are such a handsome and such a brave man. But where is the Russian collusion evidence you promised us? I'm so disappointed.
If you enjoy what we provide for you here on America First, as much as we love making it for you, support those who make it possible. This isn't NPR. We don't get $500 million of your taxpayer money every single year. This is a free market enterprise made possible by great patriots and businessmen like Mike Lindell. The left hates him. Why? Because he's a patriot, because he's a Christian, and because he's a friend of President Trump. He's the inventor of the MyPillow, of which he sold 81 million. Yes, 81 million. I rest my head on one every single night. But are you aware? He's got hundreds of items on his website, made in America by Americans for you. Don't buy that Chinese tat on Amazon. Buy American. Call them up. Use my name. Get up to 2/3 off and free shipping. You will not get that offer anywhere else. The left hates him. That's a good enough reason to buy from him. Call them up. Talk to a human being. 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Razor Fist, you're a very astute political commentator. I want to sound use you as a sounding board for something I was involved in. What was it, 3 weeks ago, I think? I was down at Mar-a-Lago for an event for Tom Homan for his new 911 Border Foundation. And we wanted to meet with the president beforehand. It was me, Tom Homan, Vivek Ramaswamy, and who was the... Kash Patel. And as is always the case, you have a plan about what you want to talk about with the president, which never survives contact with the president, because when he walks in the room, he's going to talk to you about what he wants to talk about. And he was just preparing to record his video on abortion. And he ran it past us. He had the script there. We helped him out. We added some things. And then it dropped after we got home on the next following Monday. And I don't get why there's so much hullabaloo in the conservative movement about this video, especially from those who say they're pro-life, who, as if the man who gave us three Supreme Court justices who struck down Roe v. Wade has to prove anything to them. And I still see this, now that my wife has a position running the GOP in our county in Virginia, I get these questions all the time. What do we say about abortion? The election's around the corner. Do conservatives run away from it, or do we talk about it? And I say what the president said. We've put it down to where it should be, subsidiarity, states decide. Oh, and then you flip the switch, and then you talk about what the Democrats say about abortion, about third trimester, you know, Ralph Northam after it's born, just lunatic. So you say it's where it is, oh, and by the way, then show the left up for who they are. What is the problem with Republicans in this issue, Razor?
The problem is they misportray what the president is. It's really a misunderstanding of what the president even is. You know, Donald Trump has his position on abortion. And the amazing thing is that personal position could be the most pro-abortion position ever, which for the record, it's not. But he has abdicated responsibility as president, right, for actually setting that policy. He is being a constitutionalist. Yeah. He is saying the states get to decide this issue. It's masterful in a way, and no one should be surprised that kind of the 19th century progressive party that's really what rhinos are, right? These are kind of the holdovers from the old Lincoln regime. These were centralizers. These were top-down governance kind of people. So they don't really understand the idea of the states get to decide, because they generally are not in favor of allowing the states to decide a whole litany of issues. I completely agree with you, incidentally, because the position of the left is so extreme. It's like you don't even really need to make a firm stance, because the states are going to handle that anyways. I completely agree with that on like a strategic level. Myself, I'm about as anti-abortion as they come, and I don't oppose abortion because I don't know when life begins. I oppose abortion because I know exactly when death begins.
Yeah.
And that's my firm position. And incidentally, I'm in a state that's pretty anti-abortion. Now, there's some silly kind of measures that are not being put up to a vote right now that are attempting to overturn that. But still, there's going to be an ongoing fight in the state of Arizona. High Catholic population, high Mormon population. I don't think in the long run that works out for Democrats.
Doesn't it seem as if every single day it's more and more likely that this will be the only thing they have come November?
It seems like that is already their operational strategy.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know. You look at polls and Republicans immediately after, in the election immediately after Roe v. Wade was appealed, actually gained with women. So I'm not so sure this is the issue that's going to usher them to a nationwide sweep or even mitigate damage in races they are already not favored to win.
Right.
That I don't really see that happening. Apparently, like the most reliable polls, and this is a pretty common number, have it about 18% of the electorate consider abortion to be a major, major issue. And most of those, I would say all of those people, are basically already captured by them. So yeah. It's like these are already active voters. These are people who are already going to vote for Biden, you know, come hell or high water.
We have a brand new product from our sponsors, Relief Factor. It's not about relieving you from your pain. It's about something just as important, getting a good night's sleep. And listen to my muse, Katie, about when she took it.
Okay, I will say, if I don't take it, I'm up at 4. And I love that time with the dogs, but I'd rather be asleep in bed. So when I take Relief Factor, I actually sleep till 6, even 7 o'clock in the morning. I tell you what, I am a much happier camper.
As is her husband. She used to get up at 4:30. Not anymore. She's in bed. She stays in bed with like 7:30. If you don't get a good night's sleep, you're not going to have a good day and your health will suffer. It's natural. It works. I take it as well. Deep restorative sleep. And the best thing is you don't wake up drowsy. Find out for yourself. Call the number you know so well, 1-800-4-RELIEF, or just go to relieffactor.com/sleep. That's 1-800-473-5433. ReliefFactor.com/sleep. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides. So you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com.
News and talk radio is still really popular, even in the internet age. What you are about to hear them say is mind-boggling.
Here's looking at you, Snowflake. America first.
You're listening to America First, one-on-one with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. Rather, Dr. G Mark II. What do you mean, Dr. G Mark II? Well, thanks to the good offices of Dr. Ashley Lucas and her amazing team at My PhD Weight Loss, I lost 42 pounds. I know it's hard to believe, but I had a bit of excess luggage that I could hide because of my height, but it wasn't healthy. And with her program, no scary injections, no stupid pills to pop, just 5 meals a day that burnt off the fat. I'm down to a size 36 in my blue jeans. I haven't been a size 36 since my 20s, and it feels amazing. My colleague Dennis Prager is on the program. Katie lost 36 pounds. Mr. G, our producer, is on it as well. Find out for yourself. Call her amazing team. 864-644-1900. Check out the unbelievable before and after pictures. Mine will scare you at myphdweightloss.com, but scare you in a good way. That's 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. So, Razor, I've been doing a lot of interviews for foreign press because I guess they realize who they think is going to win is going to win. And they're trying to get, oh, what's it going to be like to have President Trump in office? And it's mind-boggling because they say, is there going to be another January 6th? And is he going to leave NATO? And does he love Putin? And I say to them, these are seasoned national news agency representatives from Sweden, from the UK. And I say, were you alive when we were in the White House? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, can you remember right. those 4 years about what we actually did and how there were no wars and how the world was stable? Anyway, here's my challenge to you or my question. I'm not worried about another January 6th. I'm concerned that conservatives haven't thought hard and deep about what happens if, God willing, we do our part and President Trump is reelected, what happens between November 5th and January 20th. I think the so-called summer of love under BLM and Antifa is going to look like a cakewalk. Your prognosis?
I think that would be, you notice we kind of have the election season variant of certain illnesses mm-hmm. and kind of the election season riots. It's interesting. I remember years ago, you know how you can track trends on Google as far as searches?
Yes.
And someone looked up BLM and it was election season spike. And then it goes down. Election season spike. And then it goes down. And it's been that way ever since BLM came around. Right. So I think we can expect a momentary reprieve and then election season will come around and these same pressure groups will come out of the woodwork. Speaking of foreign residents, did you see Biden getting all boo-boo faced about foreign dignitaries meeting with Trump instead of him?
Yeah. I wonder why we have David Cameron going to Trump Tower and then the former Japanese prime minister and the current president of Poland. I find that fascinating, don't you?
Right. No, it kind of casts those recent remarks by Biden that Japan is xenophobic
yes.
in a little bit of a different light, doesn't
yes.
it? Like it's
yes.
a little he's a little bit bitter about it, which incidentally, if China is such a cloistered hermetic kingdom, how exactly did COVID get through the xenophobia force field? I've always wondered, but anyway, yeah, apparently having a border is xenophobic.
Of course. We want to have a borderless hemisphere, like Hillary Clinton said to those bankers back in 2014. What is the look? You know me, I'm a conservative. My father escaped a communist prison in 1956. But I would like it if we had two parties in this nation that were, you know, quasi-normal. What is the hope for the Democrat Party? I mean, the Rhino Party has to be hunted down and replaced by America First candidates across, you know, the nation. But I see no hope for the Democrat Party because there are no sane, sober people in charge. The Cuellar, what is it, the Californian, was just, you know, booked for $600,000 worth of quote-unquote bribery, I guess, because he's a pro-life Democrat. Is the only hope for that party, for the left, if they are utterly, completely shattered in a general?
The problem with that, you know, in previous discussions before some of the recent developments, I might have said yes, but honestly, they've taken a lot of the people who could have led the way in that effort. Tulsi Gabbard, she's now out of the party,
yeah,
right? Kyrsten Sinema got primaried out. Now, I've pointed out many, many times exhaustively that she's a complete fraud and like kind of a closet communist. But at the end of the day, you know, she was going to be one of those figureheads, the so-called right. moderate Democrats. That's a dying breed. The Blue Dog Democrat is what they used to be called, the Joe Lieberman kind of Democrat. Those don't really exist anymore. You can see how Manchin is being treated. You can see what's happening to Kyrsten Sinema. And Tulsi, who probably was the strongest person to lead a counter movement like that, is now no longer a Democrat. You know, if that person is there, they're not on the scene right now.
So if they aren't defeated, is there even a scenario where they could get even more radical in defeat?
Possibly. I would say, you know, if you want a historical analog, we're more likely looking at, and I actually pointed this out all the way back in 2016, that the Democratic Party were showing some of the same signs that like the Whig Party showed.
Yeah.
Right before it died.
Explain what happened to the Whig Party before it died.
the Whig Party never, they became more ineffectual and unelectable in certain parts of the country, which is why Whigs wound up basically just either turning it. Most of the Whigs turned into Republicans in the North, and then Whigs in the South just kind of became Democrats or whatever, because Republicans couldn't really get elected there. And actually, that's how we wound up with our current Democratic Party, because the Whigs were more statist. Democrats to that point had been conservatives, actually, small government, states' rights conservatives. They wound up taking over the party after the Civil War. So there was no real partisan flip. It was just kind of a takeover by former Whigs. The Whigs still very much exist, but they're the Democratic Party. And it's kind of interesting if you look at it in that frame, because if these are death throes, then we might be witnessing kind of the second death of the Whig Party in a weird roundabout over 100 years late way.
Well, that's another case of history rhyming. We're talking to Razor Fist, the host of the Rageaholic channel on YouTube, and his new publication is The Ghost of the Badlands graphic novel. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is The One-on-One, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank, malodorous, noisome, ghastly swamp that is Washington, D.C. Relief Factor. It's real. It works. It's liberating over a million Americans right now from their daily pain. I just happen to be one of them. But it's not just me. It's people like Alicia from California. Let me share with you Alicia's story. I'm a grocery store worker and was working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees did not get a rest. I literally limped to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain decreased substantially. So thankful for that amazing product. That should be your story. It could be your story. Find out today. There's only one way. Order your 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. Like it works for me, Alicia, and over a million of your fellow Americans. Call right now, 1-800-4-RELIEF, relieffactor.com. That's 1-800-473-5433, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. You may have heard that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of the big box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They have been attacked as part of the cancel culture, and so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, for $25. Brand new 4-pack dish towels. You guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code GORKA or call 800-829-8468 today. That's code GORKA.
In my book, you're number one. I don't care about the Steven guy number two. In my book, you're number one, okay? So don't worry about it.
Sebastian Gorka.
So given all the restraints on President Trump, the Biden trials, the state of the media, the lunatic base taking over the campuses in praise of Hamas jihadism, what advice, if you met with President Trump today, raise a fist, what would you say he needs to do given those constraints? Is there something he needs to do more of, less of? Is there somewhere he needs to campaign? And when it comes to messaging, what would you like to see? I'm curious.
He's got a tremendous advantage in that everybody already knows what Trump stands for. And it's funny because in a weird way, the left might have actually helped that to happen, right? Because they so exaggerate all of his positions that everyone already kind of knows what he's about. So in a weird way, he only has to half campaign, which is kind of to his advantage, because now he's dealing with this kangaroo court, which is honestly probably a compliment, given what this is. Several kangaroo courts in unison. Like, they say justice is blind, and we all know what makes you go blind if you do too much of it. And that kind of tracks with some of the courts and judges that we're seeing right now. He needs, I feel, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like he needs a code word to get around gag orders.
Yeah, yes.
Right? Like, he's like some kind of like viral marketing term or something.
Do you remember, you're younger than I am, but this stupid thing, the Thatcher government said Sinn Féin is the arm of the IRA, which is correct. And they said Gerry Adams cannot be shown speaking on BBC because he's a mouthpiece for terrorists. So what did the BBC, the state broadcaster, do? They showed Gerry Adams giving a press conference, and they had somebody voicing him over in an Irish accent. So it wasn't Gerry Adams' voice, but it was Gerry Adams' words. It was like living in bizarro land. And I keep thinking, we need to have, you know, Shane Farris, the best Trump impersonator, just repeat President Trump's statements on his Twitter.
Or get like a famous actor who's a Trump fan, like Kevin Sorbo. Get Kevin Sorbo to voice over his voice. He'll do it in a hummingbird's heartbeat, and it'll be genius.
What about, is there any issue he needs to touch upon that he isn't, or does he need to go back to Harlem? Is there some place he needs to go?
Honestly, I don't think his positions are so well defined at this point. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Israel, Iran, Palestine, right? We can see that could erupt. That's a pressure cooker constantly. But honestly, that was pretty calm when he was president. So he's already kind of got that down, right? He can really just point to, hey, this was not happening when I was president, which is honestly, that can pretty much be his position for almost anything at this point.
God bless you, sir. Keep doing what you do. I can't wait to read The Ghost of the Badlands. Look for your own copy as well. Follow this man for free on YouTube at The Rageaholic, and follow him at Razor Fist on Twitter. Razor, the O is a zero. Don't ask me why. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.